sometimes, and it, you know, it gets a bit twisted, and my mind thinks this is what I want to say, but the tongue's not, you know, keeping up. But if I was to speak something out, we're always encouraged to check it out against the Word of God. And if say, a word came up, well, then what the concordance does for you, you might just have one word that you remembered out of something that was said. Well, you can actually go to your concordance, that thing in the back of your Bible. It's a great thing to have. And look for that word and then find it in correlation to the scripture that it came out of. So I encourage you that if you always wondered what that extra bit in the back of your Bible was with all the words and all the different scriptures, that's a concordance, and that's in order to help you find the words and the things that are spoken out. And I always encourage you to grab hold of and to seek what the Word of God is, that it's important, that it's... if it comes from someone like me, it might be a bit tangled sometimes. So check it out. Find out you know, what the Holy Spirit's saying. I want to speak this morning about a gracious God. And over the last few weeks, it's come to me that in my inadequacies, God is adequate. Is that irrespective of, you know, where I fall short, where I haven't got the things in place, God has. And as we learn to surrender and to come into His grace, into His mercy, and allow Him to be so close to us, is that it will help us move out into our ministry life. It'll help us in our average day-to-day life. It'll help us in everything that we do. And there's such power in God's graciousness. As we look at the book today, what I'd like you to do is actually reflect on your life similarly to how Peter's was. The book of 1 Peter was written somewhere around AD 67. First thing to understand is AD. Does everyone understand what the two letters after the date are? And it's a thing known as Anno Domini, the year of our Lord, when He was born. It's not after His death, all right, as some people think AD might stand for. It's from the day He was born. So you imagine how our world is today, where it proclaims this is the year 2024 in the year of our Lord. Do you think this world wants to proclaim Jesus? But you know, every day it's proclaimed. In the year of our Lord, 2024. Is what a wonderful thing that is. So when we look at the year AD 67, we're 67 years down since Jesus' birth. I've read a lot, but I can't figure out how old Peter was at this point of time. But let's say he was similarly in age to Jesus. That when Jesus came to him as a fisherman on the beach, he was maybe in his late 20s, maybe coming into 30s. So at this point, he's somewhere in his mid-60s when he wrote this book. Like us, he's about 30 years from when he met Jesus to this point of time. I wonder how many of us are now somewhere around 30 years on from when we met with Jesus for the first time. Is some of us are blessed that we're further on, some of us a little bit shorter. But in looking at Peter's life, and we see this man who Jesus walks up to on the beach and says, you know, come follow me. An impetuous sort of bloke. Obviously had a bit of personality. I don't know what... It's really interesting to try and find a little bit of what these people were like. It's not that easy. But Peter, we know that he actually denied Christ. Maybe in our lives we've done that. Peter, in his impetuousness, actually in his actions, did things contrary to what Jesus might ask of him. And I wonder if for us we're like that a little bit, is that, you know, in our enthusiasm, in our exuberance, we go out to do something, but really that's not what we're called to do. You know, like Peter swipes off the ear of the high priest, you know, like, and Jesus goes, "Oh, Peter, what'd you do that for? Now I've got to fix him." All right? But I wonder how our lives are in that way. Have we done things in our lives out of zeal and enthusiasm only to find out that that's really not what God wanted us to do? And he was gracious enough to come and love us and look after us and bring us closer. You know, to where Jesus speaks out these words to Peter, "Peter, upon this rock I will build my church." Has he spoken that into your lives? He is speaking that into your lives. You are the rocks on the living stones he will build his church upon. This is us, all right? You know, Jesus asks him, "Peter, will you feed my sheep?" He does this three times in order to give Peter the opportunity, you know, because where he's denied Christ three times, now he's given the opportunity to come back. I wonder how our lives look in regard to that. You know, are we a lot like Peter in what we've done? So let's read to what Peter's found in his 30-odd years since he's been and walked with Jesus. So today we're going to go to 1 Peter 1, and it'll come up. You can follow there if you like, or you can follow in your own Bible. If you've got a marker, it's a good thing to mark some things as you go. But like Jesus, in reading the Word, that's what I'm going to do today. It takes probably about 12 to 15 minutes for me to read through this. So if you get a little bit bored, okay, I encourage you to just look to Jesus and ask him not to let you be bored, okay? But he says, "Peter, I, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world," that's us, "to God's elect, strangers in this world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen, and Maria, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance." How cool is that? "Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you in the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." And since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Though you, through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living, enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. This is for us. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light, into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honour the king. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. And when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Maybe this next bit might be the bit on marriage. Maybe it's not. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words, by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Men, listen to this. You're quick to grab the first bit, but men, listen to this. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand, with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent time in the past doing what the pagans chose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the Spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled, so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. So then all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for a righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who are suffering according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and to one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Father, as we meditate on that, we see the precious gifts that have been given to us, our salvation through the blood of Christ, our righteousness that is Christ's righteousness. Lord, we thank you that we're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Father, living stones knit together to be your church, that will become the bride of Christ. Lord, we've heard through Pastor Julie over the last few weeks, Father, that this end, this time is coming to an end. And Father, we're to be ready. Well, Lord, we've heard today your word, giving us direction, helping us to understand what it is that you would have us do in our lives. And we thank you for it. Now, I just want to read a quote from a lady called Heidi Baker. If you don't know who Heidi Baker is, she works in Africa with all sorts of amazing ministries. She's seen God work mightily throughout her life. But she says here, and this is for us, mission and ministry are simple. Mission and ministry are simple. All right? She says, they are simply about a laid down passion at the foot of the cross. They're simply about a laid down passion at the foot of the cross. And if we ask, praying, possess me, Holy Spirit, then I might be conformed into the image of Christ Jesus. Let me reflect the majesty of who he is. Let Jesus love you first, so that you can love others as he did. And when you lose yourself inside his huge heart, you find only pure joy in him. And for each one of us in this place, we're called to go out, not as Steve or Sandra or Ross. We're called to go out as ambassadors for Christ. We are his chosen people. He has filled us to overflowing. He's taken these earthly vessels and cleansed us by the precious blood, filled us with the Holy Spirit, redeemed us for a time such as this. In reflecting back on Peter's life, I ask this question, were the impetuous one, but who was the only other person to walk on water with Jesus? He might have been impetuous, he might have been, seem to be off track sometimes, but through belief and faith in what Christ had to say to him, he would also walk on water. He would become the rock on whom the church was built. I just encourage you today is to reflect on your life. How does it stack up, you know, as we start to bring the Word of God into our lives? How are we going in it? God doesn't ask how many mistakes did you make. He asks that you make some mistakes. That's the thing, because he's gracious. If you do make a mistake, it doesn't matter, all right? He is gracious to forgive, all right, as we're called to forgive. And as I gave thanks to Andrew today, we read in there, if you're serving, that's to serve and to do it as unto God. If you're bringing his word, do that. Bring it as unto God, all right? The Holy Spirit that works through you. If you're greeting someone, you know, is that you are probably the connection between yourself and the next person with Jesus. Do they see his eyes when they look into yours? Do they feel his comfort when they come close to you? Is that how your lives are reflecting Jesus when you go out into the world? All right, I encourage you today, know that Jesus is coming for his bride, someone he loves so dearly. He loves you today that intimately. That dear love that he has for his bride is for you today. Irrespective of what's happened, what's gone on, what might be tracking around in your mind right now, God loves you dearly, all right? And today, I give you the opportunity, is that without any further ado, if you've lived a life like Peter, you know, you've had a few challenges, you've had a few things go wrong, I encourage you today just to take the opportunity today to say, Lord, I thank you that I've heard that it's not about the mistakes I've made, it's the ones I haven't made yet in going out and doing what you're asking me to do. It's that you're gracious, that you will forgive me, Father, for having a go. But if we do it in the strength of Jesus, if we do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this Jesus that goes out is, in reading Heidi Baker's book, she said, I hold these little children that are starving, and the doctor says to me, this child is not going to live. And I hold that child and I cry to God and say, but why, Jesus, why would this little child die? And God says to her, because that child now has known my comfort in you holding them, and they're coming into my kingdom. Isn't that our goal at the end, is for us to enter into the kingdom of God? And these children get to know the comfort of God just in her arms in that short period of time. How are we in our lives? Are we the comfort that the people are looking for? Are we the good news that the world's looking for? I encourage you today, grab hold of the Word of God. Meditate on it. Feast on it. Love it. Desire it. Is that if you go back through those scriptures today, you'll find the word precious used regularly. Go back through with a marker and just see how many times that came up. Because you are precious to God. There is nothing more precious to him than his bride. And that is each and every one of you today. So Lord, we just want to thank you. We lift up each and every person in this room. Father, that your love, your grace, your peace, Father, is just so unfathomable. The depths are so great. That Jesus, we just want to get up and we just want to proclaim your name. We want to thank you. We want to thank you that you're our strong tower. You're our provider. You're our love. You're our strength. You're our guidance. You're our protector. Doesn't matter what's coming, Father. Lord, you hold us. You hold us dearly. You hold us close. And Lord, you are beautiful and wonderful. Father, it's just with a joy that out of my heart springs this well that just wants to love you, to tell you that I love you. Father, that you love me first and you've continued just to pour out your love and I see it evidenced in this church, in the hearts of the people that call upon your name, Jesus. And we thank you for that. And Lord, as we just look to you today, we just want to stand, Father. We're just going to have the worship come up. We're just going to rejoice and proclaim your name, Jesus, over our lives. We thank you that we're healed by the stripes you took. There's nothing can stand in our road. And if we believe that today, we can have that come to pass in our lives. Father, we know that if we do these things according to your will, Father, ask these things, we can have this confidence that it will come to pass. Well, Lord, your will is that none should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of you and everlasting life. And we speak that out today, Father, and we believe it, Jesus, in your name. And we give you glory, and we thank you, Father. Jesus, we give you glory. Thank you, Jesus. As the worship comes up, let's just stand and worship a holy God, a loving God. Wherever your heart might be today, just honour him for the next breath that you take, for the next beat of your heart. The fact that you woke up today able to come to church, the fact that you had a feed this morning, for whatever it might be. And the altar will be open. If there's anything we can pray for you, just please come. Thanks, Christopher and Linda. Who else can make